been here before? He asks, as if this were the first time. Gazing out the car window while the world is passing, watching from my corner eye, all he knows is blurry. I can't hold on to the way things used to be. Time and space are unraveling. The day's a collage of distant memory. Thank God he knows my name. He still knows my name.
It is time for Talkin' Music on KVNF, your Mountain Grown Community Radio. I am your host, Taya J. I'm joined today by Natalie Spears, preparing to celebrate the release of her upcoming solo album, Hymn of Wild Things. Natalie, thank you so much for making time to chat with us today.
Oh, thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
It's nice to be connected to your valley in this way. I love the sort of creative umbilical cord between the North Fork and the Roaring Fork. It feels like a good connection.
Totally. We're so lucky to have these creative industries to bounce back and forth between. And they're so different, you know. I love that about that, too.
I know that you grew up in a musical family, and some of those early exposures helped to contribute to your love of music and contributed to you becoming the multi-instrumentalist that you are today. I'm curious, amidst all that, how did you find your personal and authentic sound?
Oh, good question. Well, it started with my dad, for sure. He was a classical and jazz pianist, not professionally, but just had such a deep love of the music, and there was always music being played in our house, and And I think that was the music that I loved most was jazz when I was a kid. And he got me started on the piano, and I ended up quitting all music in high school. I had picked up the upright bass and the saxophone, but I just wasn't getting to play the music that I felt like moved me. And in 2012, I moved to Carbondale to work on a straw bale house. And my friend Dana was the plumber on the job. He actually lives in Paonia now. And he heard that I had played upright bass in fifth grade. And he was like, you should come play bass in my old time band. And I had no idea what old time music was. And for those of y'all who are not familiar, old time, it's the music that is at the root of bluegrass. It's the music that was made up of Anglo-Saxon folk music and the Afro-Caribbean influence of the banjo and First Nations circle songs and dance. And so it was just this really dynamic melting pot of sound and traditions. And so he pulled me into this world of old time and clawhammer and learning about roots music. And it was so inspiring. And folk music is so accessible, you know, it's the music of the people. And so that was really the first time I felt like I'd had an opportunity to lean into that part of my being. And from that place, I eventually discovered songwriting, and I picked up the clawhammer banjo and started collaborating with two women, Ellie Barber, who was a great cellist, who now goes by Olella. And then also with the Free the Honey Gals, if any of you all remember that band, I was playing bass with them. And I was really starting to just dive into this world of folk music. And it's been in the past few years that the jazz has slowly started working its way back into my sound. And that is just such a deep rabbit hole to go down. So it's felt intimidating at times, but I just love the music and I love the learning process. So that's kind of been my journey coming to this place of my own music creation and authentic expression.
I love that. And I love that idea kind of that sometimes it takes community to revitalize your own personal passion to something. I think there's something great about young people being exposed to music, but it's not always a positive experience. And sometimes it's almost more about timing. And I love to hear you say that some of those sort of early influences are reappearing in your work now and helping to make it even more sort of layered and complex.
It's so fun. It's like going back around the circle again. And that's what's so cool about life. And I think you're so right about the community element. I don't know if I'd be playing music if it weren't for this incredible community that I live in that just, you know, I think people come here and if they have a dream, this community helps to nurture that dream. And I see it across so many mediums and with other artists and makers. And I notice that in your valley too. And I think we're just really lucky.
It seems to me like place is very important to you. I know that it's the quiet awe of wild spaces that most animates your music. Will you say more about that?
Yeah, I think inevitably our art is an extension of who we are. And for me, the natural world, you know, for so many of us is a place of healing and a place of rest and reconnection. And I'm just tuned a lot to what's going on in the outside world around me, and thus it influences how I write, and I am especially tapped into sound, probably because of my musical upbringing and just having to learn different languages when I was a kid. And I remember like discovering from a teacher named John Young the patterns that exist in bird language communication and how you can read a landscape based on how the birds are communicating. And John spent a lot of time in the San Kalahari Desert with the San Bushmen learning about how they were tracking. And Victor Wooten kind of brought together all of my worlds when he wrote this book called The Music Lesson. And he had also spent time with John Young. And so in this book, he's sort of describing the relationship between the natural world and music. And it's been so fun to have collaborators like Lizzie Plotkin who have been on that journey too, who can share in that feeling. And so it's a huge part of my writing, my songwriting and my relationship to music, and it's wonderful.
What's the title of that book? Do you remember?
It's called The Music Lesson, and it's a really wild book. It's super far out there. Essentially, this guy shows up on Victor Wooten's doorstep when Victor Wooten is living in Nashville, and he's totally burnt out on music and just hitting a wall, and this dude shows up with, like, an American flag cape, and he's wearing a, you know, he's got a skateboard and wearing some weird helmet, and he's like, my name's Michael, and I'm here to show you about music, and so he takes Victor on all these crazy adventures, kind of showing him how the natural world and music are all interconnected, and sort of really questioning Victor's perceptions of what music is. And I really loved that. I discovered that book pretty early on in my musical journey, so it just opened up a lot for me.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
The title of your new album is Hymn of Wild Things, and you mentioned the birds, but I'm wondering, what are some of the other wild things that you love the most?
Oh my gosh. Well, I've been thinking about this a lot lately as I've been sort of reflecting on the record and what the story of the record is. And I think we're all our own individual wildernesses. And that's been a really cool thing to muse on lately, is just thinking about how you can know somebody, but you never really know, like, all of who they are. And I've been thinking about that with this record of how there are all these nuanced places in ourselves, and it takes living and it takes experience to uncover those. And so those are wild things I've been thinking about lately. You know, another thing that I think about is these kind of intimate corners of ourselves where, like, these different nuanced emotions live, like grief, and then also, like, that feeling of first falling in love and that sort of butterfly feeling. And I feel like the record captures a lot. It's got a lot of color in it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. And I love that idea of the nuance. I think that's such an important reminder more and more now. I want to talk about the first track on the album, and the first single to be released is by the same name, Hymn of Wild Things. I know it's an ode to the sandhill cranes, who of course migrate through Colorado in the spring and the fall. Seems like this track is an ode to their fall migration. And if you listen closely, you can hear field recordings of the cranes at the beginning of the track that you collected at Fruit Growers Reservoir here in our valley. Talk a little bit more about this track. Talk about the cranes.
Ugh, they're just amazing beings. And, you know, because so few of them went overwinter in our valleys, that you don't really get to hear them all that often, unless you're lucky enough to live by one of the fields where a couple of the pairs will overwinter. And so when I do hear them in these shoulder seasons, it's just such a break in the sonic landscape. You know, I think it's easy to become, like, numbed to the familiarity of your world, and especially for me. And so when I hear them, it's like everything stops, you know, you're trying to find them. And sometimes they'll be soaring so high in the sky, and you're like, are those geese? No, there's no way they can be geese. They are just magical to me. They're so comically big and awkward and beautiful all at the same time. And I really wanted to write a song that kind of captured the essence of their presence in our valleys that is so limited, and how it's kind of this gateway into connection. And something that I've been wanting to incorporate more into my live shows and into recordings is just, like, bits of my world, bits of my sonic world. And so I woke up one morning early and drove over to your valley and arrived at the reservoir, I don't know, about half an hour before the sun was about to rise, and found a flock and just was sitting there huddled in my sleeping bag with my Zoom recorder. And it felt like this magical moment of really getting to integrate place into this record.
Floated through cerulean skies, over hills and plains, feathered ghost between the clouds, autumn's here again. Shadows dance below the sun on grassy field and stone, looking for a place to rest, to travel weary bones. be sure, leaving trinets in the clay. Congregation in the shoals until the break of dawn. A thousand wings rush heaven, they know they must push on.
Just heard Hymn of Wild Things, the title track and first single to be released from Natalie Spears' brand new record. The full-length record will be out June 28th. Natalie is joining me today on Talkin' Music. Ooh. I want to return to something you mentioned a moment ago, which is grief. I'm wondering if we can talk about grief a little bit. I think that, as you said, this album, it does a really beautiful job of weaving together awe and wonder and also loss. And it's this lesson I seem to be returning to over and over again, that two things can be true at once. And I'm wondering if we can talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so I've just been really curious about that. My dad has a huge presence on this album. He, like I said, you know, really influenced my love of music and so much of my life. And he passed away in 2018, and he was old. My dad was 60 when I was born, so by the time, you know, he was moving on, he was in his 90s, in his twilight years, and he was navigating Alzheimer's, and that was really challenging in addition to other health things, and I ended up writing a song about what it was like to go through that with him, and there's another song on the record about grappling with sort of the loss of a loved one after they're gone, and just thinking about all the things that you would do just to be with them again. And so there are these tender places on the album that are trying to, you know, reckon with grief, which we all go through, and it just kind of lives under the surface a lot of the time. And like I was saying before about that baseline, I think it just becomes part of, you know, the event happens and it shakes your whole world, and then you kind of default back into baseline. And for me, refamiliarizing myself with grief is important, because otherwise it leaks out of the sides in weird ways. You know, I'll get too busy and get overwhelmed. And I think really what's going on is I'm not giving myself space to actually feel. And so honoring that part of my life felt important on this album. And I integrated parts of my dad's voice and some of his piano playing into the track. And I wanted to hold this one song about grappling with his loss next to a song that would kind of offer the listener some comfort afterwards. And there is a song that was shared with me through one of my communities called To Know the Dark, which is a poem by Wendell Berry. put to music by this wonderful woman named Katie Hicks. And it's a song that's meant to be sung in community, and it was shared to me after my father died. And so on the album, I've invited a lot of my loved ones to sing that song with me. So after you listen to this sort of track about grief, there's this really arm-open chorus that follows it. And so that's what I'm trying to do, is learn how to live with all of the feelings. And then there's a 1930s swing tune, which, you know, directly comes from my dad's love of jazz, that is on the record too. So there's like a lot of joy and fun, and then also tender-hearted grief. And jazz remained a thing that kept me and my dad together, even when he was having a hard time remembering, you know, what we were supposed to do in the afternoon or what had happened a couple hours before. We could sit down and kind of plunk our way through these jazz duets. And so it's been really wonderful to connect with him through that music and in the process of recording this album.
I think something as well is it seems to me like you're giving permission for multiple forms of grief to exist in the same place, as much as multiple emotions to exist in the same place. That idea of grieving someone maybe before they're gone, grieving a former version of somebody, and then, you know, grief in the sense that we tend to know it the most as well. I think, I mean, you kind of just answered this, but on a really good day, or maybe more importantly, on a really tough day, what do you think is the healing power of music?
Oh, I think it can, you know, everybody's so different, right? Some people, when they're sad, they just want to listen to like sad, sad, sad songs. And sometimes when I'm sad, I just want something that's like uplifting and can move me. And so I think music, you know, there's something for everybody. And there's a genre or a style or an artist for everybody. And so I think listening to music can help us to, you know, transform feelings, but also I think playing music. I love teaching music because it gives people this like sort of magic private superpower that they can go to when the whole rest of the world feels like it's out of control, you know?
Yeah, very important now more than ever.
Yeah.
Or now as much as ever, maybe.
Yeah, totally.
Well, we've been teasing it a good amount, but I want to let our listeners know that the full album, Hymn of Wild Things, will be out on June 28th. But for folks in the Paonia listening area, Natalie will be hosting a pre-release show at the Paradise Theater in Paonia on June 8th. This show is in collaboration with Singing Bone Medicine Show. Will you talk about this collaboration a little bit, Natalie?
Yeah, I'm so excited about it. I met these ladies, well, some of them lived in Paonia, but I re-met them at Penny Hot Springs about a year ago, and we connected over crankies and puppetry. And when I was thinking about this album release show, I was just envisioning, like, what are the most important elements to me? And community and art and integration felt like values that I wanted to carry out. And then I just had this idea that they would be such a fantastic addition to the performance. And so they are working hard right now to prepare a couple of art pieces, live interactive art pieces for a couple of the songs on the show. And they'll be joining me in singing on some of the songs. And they're just amazing women. I'm so inspired by their creativity and kindness. They're such wonderful folks. So they will be a part of it, and then I'm going to have a 5-piece band, which is going to be really fun, and there's just so much of your valley on this record. There's another song in addition to Hymn of Wild Things that has a lot of your valley in it, and that's called The Orchard of Dreams, and I wrote this song about going on a journey with sleep, like falling asleep and sleep taking you to this magical land called the Orchard of Dreams, and where you bed down beneath the tree and you sort of let your sorrows and your worries be sucked up by the roots of the tree, and then they get sort of alchemized through the trunk and the boughs and eventually turn into these fruits of dreams that the trees then, you know, tell you to take with you back into your life. And while I was writing it, you know, there are just so many amazing orchards in Paonia. And as I was trying to craft the landscape in my mind, your valley just kept being at the forefront of the imagery in that song. So I'm grateful to have that connection piece.
Lovely. A hymn for our little valley. I was just having a conversation last night that what you were saying just made me think of about trees and about this idea that when you plant a tree, there's no guarantee that you'll see that tree live to, you know, its full potential. It's this sort of subtle, you know, investment or hope for the future. And I feel like music also has that possibility where you're just sort of planting these seeds and you're letting things go to become whatever they may be, and you may be there to witness it or you may not. And I think that that's a really unique thing.
Oh, that's a beautiful thought. Thanks for sharing.
Natalie, thank you so much for joining me.
You're so welcome.
We just heard from Carbondale-based singer-songwriter Natalie Spears joining me today on Talkin' Music. I'm your host, Taya Jay. Reminder to our listeners, Natalie will perform with Singing Bone Medicine Show at the Paradise Theater in Paonia on Saturday, June 8th. Tickets and more information can be found at paradiseofpaonia.com. For more Talkin' Music programming, you can visit our website, kvnf.org. We're going to go out today with Orchard of Dreams, an ode to the North Fork Valley from Natalie Spears. Thanks, as always, for listening.
When robins sing and dusk is near, the sun is folding west, Venus greets the coming night as you lay your head to rest. Sleep, she whispers soft and low, come and follow me, for I will take you to the land of orchards and dreams. Floating on the wings of time, you drift until you see a meadow soft and just beyond a long line of trees. There's steady boughs and holy trunks, I'm beckoning you forth, welcoming your weary mind to their mossy floor. You lie beneath the arid green, offering the ground memories of days gone by, like shape-shifting clouds, feathered grass and humming bees circle round your ears as roots drink up your deepest doubts. Narrative of tears, stories rising through the veins towards the laurel boughs. They wind within the wings of time up to the leafy crowns, shaping, shifting, changing form in endless alchemy, becoming seeds that slowly turn into fruits of dreams. As dreams fill out their juicy forms with bold and blushing tones, they ripen with the courage and the nutrients of hope. The trees begin to hum and croon, now take your fruited dreams, let them guide you, live them out, become what you believe. As the sun is glowing east, pearly. these skies begin to fade into the first light stream. Awake, sleep, whisper soft and low. Don't forget the gifts you've gleaned. Let them guide you, lift them out. Become what you believe. Let them guide you, lift them out. Become what you believe.